welcome to week two of our six-week series on Christmas carols. So today's Christmas carol, you want to, Pam's going to collect all of those cards so that we have them next time. So today's Christmas carol is based on the awe-inspiring scene described in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. So if you want to follow along, we're reading just two verses out of Luke chapter 2. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Now we're going to learn a lot about this song today, but the first thing that I notice about the story behind it is that it is an everybody gets to play song, and Bart is wearing his everybody gets to play shirt. I love this. And the reason it is because so many people contributed to the carol as we sing it today. So as I've delved into the story behind this song, it honestly reminds me of one of Jeannie's incredible quilts, pieced together over time with a lot of hard work, diverse contributions, unexpected twists and turns, and it results in something unique and beautiful that helps us to better glimpse the goodness and glory of God. Jeannie is modeling for us today a quilted outfit. She didn't know I was going to talk about this, so that's perfect. So make sure you see Bart's t-shirt, Jeannie's quilted outfit. And these pieces of the quilts that Jeannie makes remind me of our beloved saying here at Liberty Vineyard, we do small things with great love, reaching out to neighbors and nations for the greater glory of God. So let's take a look at the history of this song, and then we'll delve a little deeper into the goodness, truth, and beauty of this beloved carol. So we're going to start by talking about Charles Wesley. He was the younger brother of John Wesley. Now, Charles was an English Anglican cleric and a prolific hymn writer who wrote as many as, get this, 10,000 hymns during his lifetime. Now, if you wanted to follow in his footsteps and maintain a reasonable pace, you could write 5 songs each week with 2 weeks off each year for the next 40 years. Who wants to? I mean, isn't that incredible? We can see God's generous grace and Wesley's unwavering work ethic coming together to have left such a phenomenal legacy. Charles Wesley is known for writing hymns based on scripture and for introducing Jesus into the Psalms. He continued the tradition of Christological readings of the Psalms, meaning seeing Christ, the Messiah, in the Psalms that we talked about last week when we were looking at the Christmas carol writer Isaac Watts. Charles Wesley wrote 2 of what is known as the 4 great Anglican hymns, and one of those 4 is today's Christmas carol. These are hymns that were widely popular among Protestant churches during the 19th century and have since been adopted by Catholic churches. All that to say, there's probably 2 billion people in the world who are familiar with these songs, and maybe even more because these songs are played everywhere now. Now, Charles Wesley has a very interesting story that intersects our own here today. For a 10-month period in 1735 and 1736, Charles Wesley served as a military chaplain at Fort Frederica on St. Simon's Island, Georgia, while his brother John, isn't this incredible? I mean, you just don't know how God connects everything together. And he and his brother John had been appointed by James Oglethorpe, another familiar name, as the Anglican minister to the parish of Savannah. Even though they published the first Anglican hymn book in America during that time, I would consider that a success, wouldn't you? The brothers' mission was considered unsuccessful. and they returned to England quite dejected. Less than 2 years later, on May the 21st, 1738, Charles Wesley experienced an evangelical conversion or a renewal of faith, and his brother John had a similar, more well-known experience 3 days later. Charles Wesley then came to understand his divine calling as spreading the gospel to ordinary people by teaching sound biblical doctrine primarily through the writing of hymns and poems. 1 year after Charles Wesley's renewal experience in 1739, he was inspired as he walked to church one day by the ringing of the church bells. He then penned the hymn entitled Hymn for Christmas Day with 10 stanzas in the original composition. I'm using the word stanza, sometimes we say verses, so that we don't get mixed up between Bible verses. So the poem has stanzas. Here are his first two stanzas. Hark, how all the welkin rings. Glory to the King of Kings. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. Universal nature say, Christ the Lord is born today. It sounds somewhat familiar to what we sing today, but did you catch a completely unfamiliar word in there? The only people who understood the word welkin then, just as now, were few and far between, as it was an obscure theological term derived from the Old English word for cloud. Welkin has nothing to do with healthy relatives. Welkin. I'm sorry, I had to put that in there. Boo. Welkin. Welkin actually has to do with a place, the vault of heaven, where angels dwell. So Charles Wesley was calling on listeners to hear how the heavens ring because of the angels' joyful exultation. 19 years later, in 1758, a close colleague, George Whitfield, made some alterations to the song. Now, Whitfield and the two Wesley brothers, Charles and John, were together the most influential founders of Methodism and the evangelical movement. Charles Wesley was quite happy for people to reprint his works as long as no alterations were made, likely because he did not want to be blamed for someone else's bad theology. For some unknown reason, Whitfield did not ask his friend for permission to alter the lyrics to his hymn. Understandably, this did not go down too well with Charles Wesley, and he refused to sing Whitfield's version of his hymn. So among other changes, Whitfield removed two of the original stanzas, now reducing the hymn to 8 stanzas. However, Whitfield's alteration of the first two stanzas contains the familiar name of the way we sing this Christmas carol today. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Nature rise and worship him who is born at Bethlehem. Still not there yet. The lyrics are closer, but not quite yet the same as the Hark the Herald Angels Sing that we know today. So then, moving to 1760, English barrister, clergyman, and writer Martin Madan combined pairs of stanzas, reducing the number of longer stanzas to 4. Madan kept Whitfield's lyrics for the first stanza, but changed Charles Wesley's original second stanza to Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. So the 1782 and subsequent editions of Tate and Brady's new version of the Psalms of David, which inexplicably contained this hymn, which has nothing to do with that necessarily, removed the last stanza and added this refrain to the end of each of the three remaining stanzas. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. The original version of Charles Wesley's hymn in what was now the middle stanza had read, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to appear, Jesus our Emmanuel here. And in 1906, remember we started this story back in the 1700s, the editors of Hymns Ancient and Modern altered the second half of that, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Now that is the story of the lyrics for Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But what about the music? The carol's original melody was borrowed from another hymn, but what we sing today is based on an 1840 composition by German composer Felix Mendelssohn. And he wrote a cantata commemorating the 400th anniversary of Gutenberg's invention of movable type. That's what this music was for. Authors and composers tended to bestow very long titles in those days, and this composition is no exception. This is what his song was called. Ceremonial song for the opening of the celebrations taking place on the first day of the quadricentennial celebration of the invention of the art of printing on the market square in Leipzig. There was no concept of tweets. Do we even do that today? That's probably archaic already. Finally, British musician and organist William Cummings adapted Mendelssohn's music to fit the lyrics, and that gives us the melody that we know and love today. So just as Hark the Herald Angels Sing went through a lot of changes and twists and turns, so goes the course of our lives, doesn't it? Sometimes we look back at parts of our lives with great regret. We might be painfully aware of things we've thought, said, or done that we wish we could erase. We might fixate on lost opportunities for the things we didn't say or do that in retrospect we now wish we had said or done. The good news of Jesus Christ is all-encompassing. The good news of Jesus Christ affects every part of our lives. Every dimension. The good news of Jesus Christ touches and transforms our past, our present, and our future. Because in the kingdom of God, nothing is wasted. God uses it all, the bits that we're proud of and the bits we're ashamed of, the consequences we're aware of and the consequences we're ignorant of. Our achievements and our failures, things that were planned and things that suddenly transpired, actions we did and actions that were done unto us, our delights, delays, disappointments and devastations, our worship, working, wandering and waiting. The good news is that God is the creator and sustainer and restorer of all. God transforms ugly into beautiful, broken into restored, sin into forgiveness, emptiness into flourishing, death into life. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is beyond God's loving reach. All that God asks of us is that we surrender all that we are in childlike trust to the will and the ways of God. It's not up to us to muster up enough faith. We rely wholly and solely on the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came to seek and to save, to heal and to deliver, to restore and to renew, to tend and to transform, to repair and to reconcile. Again, let's revisit the scripture from which this carol is drawn in Luke 2:13-14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." There's two significant phrases worth contemplating here. Glory to God in the highest heaven. The Greek phrase here, doxa en hupistois theo, speaks of the weightiness of God's presence, God's sovereignty, majesty, and authority over all creation, God's divine nature and attributes, the visible manifestation of God's presence, and the honor and praise that rightfully belongs to God. And peace on earth. Now, we talk a lot about shalom around here. That's a Hebrew word. The Greek word for peace is Irene. Sounds like the name Irene. It means wholeness. And this describes what happens when all essential parts are joined together. Irene is God's gift of wholeness. God joined to humanity. Emmanuel, God with us, has come. Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has reconciled God with humanity. And we have a part to play in sharing the good news of reconciliation. So let's join the heavenly host proclaiming, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." Let us welcome, flourish, and delight in God's gift of wholeness, peace on earth. So today's Christmas carol invites us to hark, to give our attention to, and to listen closely to the good news of the kingdom of God. And Emmanuel, God with us, invites all people into God's story. And we get to participate in handing out invitations. Even as we hand out physical invitations, we get to hand out, "Hark, come and see, come and taste that the Lord is good." Now, we did something together a couple of weeks ago that I think is a great illustration for this. So a couple of weeks ago, a group of us cleaned out trash at Jackson Creek. And it didn't just affect the very spot where the garbage had been discarded. By picking up trash near the creek, Tamara can tell you more about this, but it actually helps facilitate the unhindered flow of water. Removing debris allows abundant life to flourish in and around our waterways. Similarly, we might have debris in our own hearts that we need to clear out. There are many things that can stand in the way of the good work of reconciliation that God wants to do in us and through us. So I want to invite each one of us, maybe just sit with the Lord with this if it helps you to close your eyes. Let's examine our own hearts for any trace of pride, bitterness, anger, resentment, or miscommunication. And let's root those things out so that the Holy Spirit's living water can flow unhindered. As we confess and repent of these things, this will allow abundant life to flow in and around us. I'm going to pause right now. I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, we confess that we have allowed debris to clutter up our hearts, None of us has walked through this life without the debris cluttering us up. So right now, we just ask you for the grace and the grit to be able to root those things out, to set them down and say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of living in pride, bitterness, anger, resentment, or miscommunication. Would you come and heal my heart, heal our hearts from the inside out, so that your living water, your life-giving water, can flow in us and through us for the glory of your name. Amen. So as we join Jesus in proclaiming and demonstrating the good news, we get to call out some hearts of our own. May we wholeheartedly participate, have eyes to see, ears to hear what Jesus is doing, what the Father is saying, as we go out and we invite, welcome, and cherish others into God's story on the way of love. And resting on the solid rock of Jesus, we can declare with confidence all three stanzas of this beloved Christmas carol that we know today. If you want to, I invite you to join with me in reciting the refrain at the end of each of these stanzas. There's a refrain, and you can join me for as many other words as you have memorized. So we'll practice the refrain first. Hark, the herald angels sing. To the newborn king. Perfect. So here's all three stanzas. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Stanza two. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Third and last, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
You're a good, good father. Who doesn't leave, nor forsake. You are indwelling, Father. You are in us. You are for us. You long for us. Lord, in this quiet place, this place of peace, may we come and dwell. May we come and dwell.
I'm just sensing that God is breaking frustration off of our souls. So, Lord, in places where we have longed for a long time, labored for a long time, had desires, maybe it's for a particular relationship in our lives, a particular situation, something where we feel helpless and we've become frustrated, we welcome you and invite you and ask that you would break those crusts of frustration off of our souls. We want to be able to be free to be who you've created us to be, to say and do what you want us to say and do, to not carry things that are too heavy for us. So we respond to you, Jesus. We lay those frustrations down. And we ask that you would give us the grace to remember not to pick that up again, but to trust you with everything in our lives. You are good. So, Lord, we agree with Judy's prayer and your word to Judy, to us through Judy today. Help us to walk with you, to walk with you, to walk with you. So, Lord, thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you for your presence, your power, your provision. Help us to walk with you, to abide with you, to abide in you, in everything that the coming day, the coming week brings. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us so very well. Help us to love you and others the way that you love us. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.